Okay, good. So yesterday, if you remember, we set out the basic thesis, right? Which is that there are two aspects to Avodah Zarah about why it's wrong. What are they?
It's just bad.
Right, it's wrong. You just shouldn't worship idols.
But this is bad because you shouldn't be doing
it. Right, right. One is that it's intrinsically bad. The other is that it's a violation of what you should be doing. A relationship you have pre-existing with God. And then we noted from Lichtenstein that he argued that those two models map on to what the Gemara calls Avodah Kedarka, Avodah Shelo Kedarka. That one way of worshiping Avodah Zarah is in the way it's normally worshipped, which means worship. That's what it is. And that is objectively Avodah Zarah. That's bad. And then there's Avodah Shelo Kedarka, which if you worship an idol not in the way it's normally worshipped, so that shouldn't be worship. But if it's one of the four avodah that's used in the Beis HaMikdash, so then it is Asur, it is called Avodah Zarah, but the Gemara says only for Jews. And Reb Lichtenstein argued the reason is because if it's for Jews, so you have a pre-existing relationship with God, and therefore if you misappropriate that relationship by taking that which you're supposed to be doing in the Beis HaMikdash for Avodah Zarah, so that's going to be Avodah Zarah, even though technically it's not worship. Now what I want to do today is I want to read the Rambam closely, and I want... because I want to get you used to this, right? Normally, we'll go the other way around, right? Which is, I want you to read the Rambam and I want you to analyze it. Here, I'm giving you an analysis, but I want to read through the Rambam carefully and I want to try to see how these ideas emerge from the Rambam and focus really on how the Rambam, the way the Rambam writes. Because the Rambam is very, very careful in terms of how he writes and how he organizes, right? Let's just make sure that everyone knows who we're talking about. I always assume people know the Rambam, but that may be a bad assumption. I think we did this already. Right, Rambam's name is?
Moshe Maimon.
He's born in? He's born in where? He's born in Spain. He moves to
Egypt
because he was chased out by
the
Almohads. And he's born in what year?
I don't know exactly. I know it's 100 something.
No. Not even close. 1140, and he dies in 1205.
He had the one, right?
Yeah, well, sure. Okay, good. So, and the Rambam's central work is? Central halakhic
Mishnah
work is?
David.
The Mishnah Torah.
And I'm analyzing.
What?
Analyzing.
Well, you know, that meant work, like physical, like work. What's his book? Mishnah Torah. Good, or also known as the Yad HaKazaka, because it is 14 volumes. And Yud Dalid. Okay, good. So the Rambam in Hilchos Avodos Kochavim, the laws of idols. So that's source 5. So let's read through it. So the Rambam says, we'll go through it carefully. Avodot harbe kavu ovdei kochavim l'chol tselem utselem. Right now I read through this with some of you guys during morning Seder. So there are many different ways of worship that the idol worship set up for each statue, l'chol surah, surah, every form. Who's in this room? Okay, fine, so leave it. Va'avodat ze eina ke'avodat ze. Right? The worship of this idol is not like the worship of that idol. Kagon pa'or, like pa'or shavodato she'po'er adam atzmo lo. Like pa'or, that you reveal yourself, you defecate in front of pa'or. That was the way you worship it. Umarkolis shavodato she'zroku avanim o yisakel milfanav. And markolis, that you would either throw rocks or pile rocks or whatever you did for it. Va'harbe avodot kagon elu tiknu l'shar tzlamim. And there are many different forms of worship that they set up for other idols. So therefore, if you were to defecate to Markolis, which is not the normal way of worshiping it, Oshazarek Evan Lepor, you throw a rock at Pa'or, Pater. Right, what's Pater?
Exempt.
Good. Achi Avodo to Derech Avodato, until you worship it the way it's meant to be worshipped. Shneemar Echai Avdu Agoyim Oelet Eloheihem Vesakin Gamani. Right, this is based on a pasuk, because Hashem warns of what's going to happen. You're going to say, how do the idolaters worship their gods? And let me do the same thing. Because of this, namely, because of what? Because you're only liable if you worship an idol in the way it's normally worshipped. So the court needs to know how you worship each idol. Because you can't put someone to death unless you know they actually worshipped Avodah Zarah. You know, they checked off the box.
Rambam seems to be touching on something else we covered.
Which is?
The reason why Avodah...
Correct.
The Sarah,
yes. Bidyu. Right, the Rambam here hints at what he already said in Perish Mishnayot, which is that Avodah Zarah The Masechta is connected to Sanhedrin because the court needs to know what to do. Halacha Gimel. V'azhara shel avodot elo v'chayotzei bahen. So now, let's be very careful. He says, what's the warning in the Torah for these psukim, for these prohibitions? Where do they come from? Huma shekatuv v'lo ta'avdeim. It's from what it says, don't worship them.
Do you have different gears than us?
What?
Do you have different gears than us?
I have what's on the page.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'm saying different gears than the safer.
Oh, I don't know which text this one. What do you have?
Who shekatuv?
Oh, okay, fine. That's not a huge difference, but I have what's on the page, which is the Frankel, so it's a bit of a better text.
Oh, all right, I see what's happening here.
I don't know which one this is. The best is probably the Kafach, but anyways. Yes. B'medvar Mamurim, so when is this said? Bishar avodot chutz mimishtachaveh v'zoveach u'makdir u'menaseich. So now, the Rambam already tells you, right, he makes it very clear, that which was implied in the Gemara, the Rambam makes it very clear, which is, right, in the Gemara, it's clear that there are two ways you could violate Avodah Zarah. But what's clear in the Rambam?
That,
not only there are two ways, but there are
two ways.
No, that there are two ways, and each of those ways is a different prohibition. Right, there are different prohibitions, meaning they're totally different. Right? It's not just there are two ways to do the same thing. Right? So, right, what we already noticed, there's two conceptual models for Avodah Zarah. But the Rambam now makes it clear it's not just that. Right? When the Gemara picks out two psokim, it's also two different mitzvot, right? Two, or averot, really, right? Two sins. But if you worship with one of the four avodot used in the Beis HaMikdash to an idol, chayav avo pishein derech avodoto bekach, you're liable even if it's not the way that you worship the idol. Ketzad, what's the case? Harashin, yisech lepa'or, if you bring a libation to pa'or, shezavach lemarkolis, or you brought a korban to Markolis Chayim, shneemar zoveach le'lohim yachoram bilti la'ashem levado. Right? And you remember, in the Gemara, it implies that the Rambam makes it very clear these are two psukim, two different prohibitions, because they're two different, you're doing two different things. Zvicha v'chlal avodai haita. Right, zvicha, right, shechting, or sacrificing carbon was amongst avodah in general. Vilama yatzeit, so why is there a separate pasuk to talk about sacrificing? Lomar lecha mazvicha miyuchedet she'ovdin ba lashem v'chayav. To tell you that, it's unique, and if you worship God, if you worship an idol with it, rather, you're liable. Azovech el achers, v'chayav azovech el acher skila, the one who brings a carbon to another god is gets the death penalty of stoning. Or again, remember, what are the four death penalties? In order of descending stringency. Skila. There is, very good. Machlok is between? No. All four. First two and second, and third and fourth, but between Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. Good. Skila, by the way, we paskin Chacham. Skila is stoning. Srefa, burning.
Hereg.
Kind of good.
Are those on list of pains?
Not totally clear why it's like that, but it's a long discussion. The seventh paragraph of Sanhedrin.
Stoning, sword.
No, stoning,
spray,
burning.
Which
is not really burning, but fine.
Stoning, burning, sword, lead, or lead sword.
No, the lead. Lead is the burning.
Oh, lead's the burning.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't get burned. Like you get burned by pouring molten lead down the throat, and it burns out your insides. Strangulation. What? Stoning. No, death penalty. These are all death penalties. There's no torture. I mean, you mean Malkut? There's lashes. There's lashes, if that's what you mean. Basically.
What is it with you?
Yeah, okay.
Rape is worse, and now you want Judaism to involve torture?
No, I'm not doing ancient, because in ancient times there were multiple sorts of torture. I'm asking what kind of torture there were.
We had a few others, but that's basically it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, in order to, well, I mean, I guess in order to get a guy to give a woman a get.
Well, then we can be at all types of creative things. Yeah.
Free reign.
But I didn't mean that. But I'm, you know, we have a few things. Anyways, fine.
Tricks up our sleeve.
Yeah. Fine. So, bein adi derech avodah bezvicha, ein bezvicha, af kol, let's continue the Rambam. He says, af kol avodah shehi miyuchedet l'shem. So, any of the avodah that is for God, Im avad bala ela cher, bein shad derech avodato bekach, bein she'ena bekach, chayav ala. Whether that's the normal way or not, you are liable. Lekach ne'emar, lo tishtachav ela cher. Lechayev al hashtachavaya, afil in derech avodato bekach, bodin lemekato menasech vizorek, umenasech echad hur. And this is true of all the avodot. And then if you look, if you go to halacha hey, right, the Rambam notes. And now we're going to start pushing it. Ha'ovid avodah kochavim kidarka v'afilu asa derech bizayon chayav. Right, kigon ha'po'er atzmo lipo'or k'dei levazoto uzarek evan lamarkol k'dei levazoto hova adoto b'kach chayav u'maybe karvan l'shigigato. Right, the Rambam now tells me that how objectively is it true that this is idol worship? He says, right, in what sense? So remember, you asked yesterday, right? You said, what if in your mind you want to worship an idol, right? You meant, the Rambam said, it doesn't matter, right? At some level, idol worship is objective, right? If you worship an idol with intent to humiliate it, it's idol worship. And if you intend to worship an idol and you didn't, it's not idol worship, right? There is a formal component to idol worship, and that is... doing it, yeah.
Like
doing it.
Worship.
Action. Worship. It ain't just in your head. What? No. No. Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. Right? Well, only if it's Pa'or.
Right.
Only if it's Pa'or.
In a church.
Right?
Defecating in a church would actually
okay.
Do it.
But then, and if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvah, which I didn't give you, you'll see the Rambam divides this into different mitzvot as well. I'm in number 6. I just gave you the Rambam, as we said yesterday, based on the Gemara in Vav, that ben Noach she'avod avodah zarah harei zechayev u she'yavod kedarka. That a non-Jew is also liable for avodah zarah, but only if you worship in the normal way. Okay, that's right. Seeing what we said yesterday in the Rambam. Here's my question now, okay? So we already said, for Jews, it's worshiping idols isn't only a problem of worshiping idols. It's also a problem of
you
should be worshiping God. And we said, why is that true? Right? What is the background to that statement? What's the background?
The pasuk, the second one.
That's the pasuk, but conceptual. What's the conceptual background to this notion that Jews have a more demanding relationship?
Because
I gave it away.
Part of the, we have more demanding.
We have a relationship, right? We have a demanding relationship. Good. So now if I asked you, now let's expand it. If you had to guess, right? You had to guess. Once I tell you that Jews can't worship idols, not only because it's bad, but because it's a betrayal of a relationship with God, right? So, what would you expect to find in halacha in addition to what we just saw? Right? Meaning, is that just a conceptual point? Like, we have a relationship with God, right? What would you expect? What normally happens when there's a conceptual truth?
It gets written down.
It gets written down and... What do we do with it? I'll give you an example, okay? This will resonate with three of you, right? I'm sorry, you're not American. But if you're American, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All right, that, continue.
That all men are created equal.
That all men are...
Well, at the time that was written, all men
existed. Yes, that all men are created equal. And therefore what?
Gettysburg Address. No. Jeez, the
okay, I'm going to let you look this up on your phone. You're kidding me. People, whoa, America.
Oh my God, no, it's definitely not that. This is the Declaration of Independence?
Is it like Animal Farm? Wasn't that the speech? I had a dream that all people were...
No.
You just said we hold these truths to be self-evident. That,
I learned this when I was 9. What are you doing?
History major. I was 9 too, and then I was like, oh, wait a second. I don't actually care. I'm not that patriotic, so I'm going to take it out of my head.
Okay, it's the Declaration of Independence.
I was right on my
It's the Declaration of Independence, people. This is when we... Remember we talked about colonization before? So America, when we decided that we didn't want to be a colony, you know, in the late 18th century. So we wrote a nice poetic document and sent it to England and said, shove it, okay? So, but we said it nicely.
Kindly to it.
Yes. So, I'll read it to you, okay? Then we'll get at what I'm saying. Beginning of the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal nation to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What's the next line? Like, first we say it's self-evident that human beings are created, with that God gave them rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What's the next line? That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men.
You saw you mentioned this.
Right? Right. Yes, I said that I like American law because it's nice and poetic. But
no.
Right, secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. Right.
Right.
Right. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter, to abolish it, and institute new government, etc., etc. What does the Declaration of Independence do?
It declares America's independence.
Why? What does it do? What is it doing?
We have a right by God.
It gives the insights on what they want to, what kind of system they want to govern with.
Yeah, meaning what does it do? Philosophical background to what? What should it do? A concept should then express itself in? This is not complicated. In? Yeah, in law. In law. Right, the insight, this is why, like I said, the reason I like American law more than Canadian law is Canadian law is like laundry list of laws. American law recognizes law is an expression of something mildly interesting, right? Of something poetic. But now, the same thing is true in halacha, right? That's my point here, right? Is that if we say we found already one expression of the fact that Jews have a relationship with God that is more demanding than other nations because, for whatever reason, right? What are you going to expect? You'll expect expression in law, right? Because we don't just leave concepts hanging in the air. You expect expressions of law. Now, this comes back. Now, you'll finally be happy. You'll finally be happy, right? Because, what did you say? I'll let you say it. Right? What did you say? What have you been bothering me about for 2 days? And I've been pushing you off unfairly, but now I'm going to be fair to you. Yeah? Right. So what did you say? You said, wait a second. Right?
You're still serving the name of God.
By the way, how do you want to be referred? By your full name, nickname? Do you have a nickname?
My family called me
Milo. Okay, what would you like me to call you?
Yeah.
What would you like me? What would you like me to call you? Because I've already gotten in trouble with this once, because, you know, someone... What would you like? Just tell me what you... It doesn't take more mental energy?
Say Nafam. Nafam, Nafam, Ben...
Okay, wait.
Those are very different.
Just call him Nachum.
You, fine. I'll just do Nachum, and when you decide you want to go by something, you'll tell me. Right? So Nachum told me, right? He said, wait a second. I don't understand. Right? How can you tell me that idolatry is all about the formal act, right? You meant to worship idols. In your heart, you already rebelled against God, right? You already went against it. Now, the truth is, for the death penalty, you're wrong. Right? We don't put someone to death because of what's in their heart. We put someone to death because he did something formally wrong. But you're right. Once you say that the reason it's usher to worship idols for Jews is not just because it's bad, but because you have a relationship to God that you've got to be honest with, right? You have to have integrity with. You're going to expect expressions of it, not only in action, but in your mind. And what else are you going to expect? What else are you going to expect? Right? What else are you going to expect? What do you find when people want to protect a relationship? What do you find? What do people do if they're smart? If they want to protect the sanctity of a relationship, what do they do if they're smart?
Don't mess up.
Yeah, how do you not mess up?
Not going, being with someone else.
Yeah, and what do you do to make sure you don't end up with somebody else?
Surround yourself with thoughts of the person that you're supposed to be with.
Or you... You set up precautions. Right, remember Vice President Pence, right? Vice President Pence. I don't eat dinner with a woman who isn't my wife alone, right? Everyone made fun of him, but, right? I mean, there's a yesh b'zeh higayon, right? There's a logic to that, right?
Big logic.
There's a big logic to that. Yes, right? But the same thing is going to be true in halacha with our relationship with God. So if you open your Rambam. Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis. Open your Rambam.
Which page is it?
What page is it? 133. Perek Beis, Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. 133. Right, now I want to give you an idea. Right, halacha is just like this, right? Just like the Declaration of Independence, right? There's a conceptual background, but then we don't leave it in the air, right? We say, and what are we going to do about it now? So, who wants to read Perek Bet? Go away. Go ahead, Danny. Take it. Perek Bet. 134.
I tried to say go ahead and take it away at the same time. I said go away.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I realized that. I was like, that's bad. That's yeah. Bad. Okay. Zug.
Okay.
Okay? Is that better? It's better? Zug?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's like take luck.
Take luck.
Take care. Good luck.
Brian Regan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Someone.
I'm old, you know. Come on. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Still good.
Still funny.
You
didn't say it right. Take luck. You gotta do it right, Shimon. Come on.
What?
You gotta do the routine right. You gotta do it. Anyways. Not important. We call that Bruim, yeah. Lo le malach, lo galgul.
Sorry, so lo malach, lo galgul. Lo
kochav.
Lo echad.
Me arba. Hayisav doubt. Anivraim mehem. So what does that mean? It says ikara tzivui. What's ikara tzivui?
The ikar of this commandment.
Right, ikar is what? What's ikar? The main point. The main commandment is, what is it? Shelo lavod, to not worship. Echad mikol ha'bruim, any creature, any creation. Not an angel, not a sphere, right? I mean, celestial sphere. Not a star, not the four elements. That's Greek science, right? Or any creature. And then he says, the afalpi, right? Now you said, and this is wrong, Nachum said this, oh, you're worshiping idols, you're denying God. What does the Rambam say?
He says essentially every kind of...
Everything, but then he says, you said you're denying God. And what does the Rambam say? No.
Even though you would
Afalpi Shaovid Yodea Shashem Huha Elohim. Doesn't matter, even if you know God is God.
Yeah, but he's not being specifically to idolatry, so when he says idols, he doesn't say
anything. He means anything.
Yeah.
He means anything. That's obvious,
but
right?
Before he didn't
For sure he did. Before he didn't say it, but he said anything. Anything. And you worship it the way Enosh did, which he explained earlier, was they served that as an intermediate to God. It's Avodah Zarah. It goes a go-between. Right? Go-between. And he says, V'inyan zehu shezira Torah la ve'amra. The Torah warned you about this and said, maybe you'll raise your eyes to the sky and you'll, you know, worship all those things in heaven, right? Klomar, because maybe in your heart, your eye of your heart, you'll say, these are who God gave to rule the world. And therefore you should worship them. So, okay, that goes on till the end of Halacha Aleph. Okay, he says the main prohibition of Avodah Zarah is obviously, don't worship Avodah Zarah.
Right.
But then skip to Halacha Bet. But then he says, Svarim Rabim Chibru. Here, Shimon, why don't you take it? Halacha Bet.
Svarim Rabim Chibru of the Avodah Zarah, Bavadasa. There are a lot of books written or authored on Avodah Zarah and how they do it.
Yeah, right. Idol worshippers have written books about how to worship idols.
How how you would really specifically get into doing them and what the judgments are and what happens when
good.
Sivanu Akash Baruch Hu, but Hashem commanded us. Shalom Likros Ba'osana Svarim, probably. We shouldn't even like read these Svarim. Lo Ne Har Herba, we shouldn't think about them. Lo B'davar Midvara, and not speak words from them.
Good, so what does the Rambam say?
Rambam says that there's tons of stuff on this topic, but we're commanded to not even like explore it.
Yeah, right. The Rambam tells you Avodah Zarah, it's not just wrong to worship it, it's wrong to read about it, it's wrong to think about it, right? Now you start to understand, but why? Right? Why is it usher?
You want us to come with smartest
points. Yeah, why is it usher? It's not complicated.
It's exposing yourself to something that's like really bad.
And so continue. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says more than that. Continue. Continuing the Rambam.
Even if like you're, what is that like, separately?
I don't even look.
Don't even like look at like at an image or,
yeah,
or something like that. It's usher. Shneimar it says, "Al tifnu el ha'elilim." Don't tifnu is look.
Or turn towards.
Don't turn towards any other god.
Right.
In Zemar, and on this it says, "Upen tidrosh le'elohayim le'mor eicha yavu." And when, what does that say? Tidrosh.
Right. So what's this? Be careful. Where's this pasuk from?
This pasuk.
Or. Not where's the pasuk from? Where did we see this pasuk before?
He used the second half of it.
Yeah, pen yidrosh lelem. You might
come to, I guess,
ask about them and say, Eicha yavdu.
How do you worship? Shlo tishal al derech avodasa hayachi, and you shouldn't ask about the way of their worship. V'afal pi shein atoove. Even if you're not gonna worship it, shdavar zegdorim lifa leponos achrea v'lasos kmo shein osin shnemar v'asei gam kein gam ani.
Okay, so what does he say?
So he's saying that even though you want to know, shdavar zegdorim lifa leponos achrea v'lasos kmo shein osin, because we're worried that you'll like try and convert.
You'll try to do what they do, right? He said, don't read it. Right? Or in other words, set up a... A precaution, right? Good. And then in Gimel, he goes farther. He says, V'chol halavin ha'ilu, b'inyan echad hein. All these prohibitions get to the same point. V'hu, sholipaneh, which is don't turn towards idols. Achar v'dazar, after idols. V'chol ha'nifneha achareh b'derech shu oseh b'ma'aseh. Right? Follow along with me. Right? And he says, and anyone who follows the idols in a way that he actually does an action, ha'reza loke. So he gets lashes. And then he goes farther and he says, V'lo avodah zarah bilvadhu, sh'asurhu lihipanot acharev b'machshava. It's not only idols that you can't think about. Ela, kol machshava, shegoremet lo l'adam, la'akor ikar mi'ikarei Torah. Any thought that causes you to not think about the fundamentals of Torah. Muzharim, Anu shelo lahalota al libenu. We're commanded not even to allow it into our hearts. Lo nasiach datenu lekach. Not even, right? Not even think about it. Not let our minds wander to it. V'nachshol v'nimashech achar hirurei halev. To be led after our thoughts. Mipnei da'ato shel adam k'tzara. Because a person's mind is small, right? It's narrow. The local deot yecholot lasig. You can't think about everything. Hamed al bruyo. You can't understand truth, all of truth, fully. The mashiach kol adam achar machshavot libon nimtzah machriv et haolam lefikotzar daato. And if you follow these thoughts, you'll end up destroying the world because you're too dumb, right? Because you're dumb. You're stupid, right? You're not smart enough, right? Because what'll happen? He said, "Ketzad." What'll happen? Sometimes you'll think about idols. Sometimes you'll think about the oneness of God. Maybe he is one, maybe he isn't. Malamata. What's above God, below God? What came before the world, after the world, etc., etc., etc. All these thoughts, right? You can follow it. And the Rambam continues like this, right? Throughout Halacha, Gimel, Dalid, right? Hey. And hey, he goes farther. He says, Yisrael, Shavodah, Vodah, Zarah, Reb, Kegoy, L'chol, Davar. If you worship a Jew worships idols, he becomes like a non-Jew for many halachic purposes. Right? So now tell me, why is it that halacha sets up a million precautions? I've already set it up for you. But why does halacha set up precautions? And why does the Rambam say that avodah zarah for a Jew is not only about avodah zarah? It's about heresy. It's about any thought that's going to lead you away from God. Why is that part of avodah zarah? Yeah.
I could answer you that, but I have another question.
Okay, first answer that. Then you can answer the question. No, first you have to answer my question.
What about the heresy thing?
Well, why is that under avodah zarah? Why is all of this in the same category for the Rambam? Right? Heresy isn't avodah zarah anymore.
Yes, but your tension is by thinking of that.
Because anything
thing.
Other than worshiping God.
Exactly. This is the point, is that these ideas, these concepts, right? These broad ideas that avodah zarah for Jews isn't only about worshiping idols, but it's about protecting a relationship with God. As I said, it must. Yes, but what does that have to do? It has to express itself in law. And therefore, you shouldn't be surprised when the Rambam says, for Jews, avodah zarah is much wider. It has all types of precautions. It applies to thoughts. It applies to feelings. Of course it does. Right? Of course it does. Yeah, Dan.
My question is about, let me say, like Christians, they idolize that Jesus as their Messiah. Is Jesus as an idol, or if Jews think about Jesus as
big machlokes, big machlokes?
Because now, like Catholics, they idolize Jesus as their Savior.
Okay, so that's actually incorrect, but fine.
No, that's
not right. That's not right. That's just not right.
What?
Right? Catholics view Jesus as a deity. As a God, part of the Godhead.
Yeah, but
No. As a Godhead, as a member. Yes, but as part of the Godhead.
Yeah.
But other denominations only view him as a savior, as a Messiah, not as a deity. There's an afkamina to that.
So if Jews think about, you know,
whether you could study Jesus through.
Well, the afkamina also is that according to the Ramah, based on his understanding of Tosfos, according to him, Catholicism isn't avodah zarah. But according to the Rambam, Catholicism is avodah zarah, but other denominations might not be.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
So, you say he's like a God.
So if a Jew thinks about, only I'm thinking about Jesus, is he doing like an Aver or not?
Yes.
Azai Pashut. Yeah, so that's even though if he is outside, if he's in the presence of a church, is he also doing that?
So you can't go into your church either.
I'm not talking into the church. I'm saying it's next to the church.
Yeah, all these things are related.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Yosef.
Yes.
Okay. Let me give you one more nafkamina, and then let me give you one more nafkamina here, and then we'll look at a few more implications. So we already said that only Jews are liable to worship an idol. Right, Shalok Kedarka. There's another prohibition which I said yesterday is related to avodah zarah. It's called Shechut Echutz. What's Shechut Echutz? Do you remember?
Shechting outside the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, just shechting, carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, based on what we've been saying, what would you guess the halacha would be? Who isn't allowed to shech the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash?
Everyone.
What?
Anyone.
Only?
Or Yaakov.
What would you guess? Yeah, which is who?
Non-Kohanim.
Jews.
Jews.
Jews. Right? Yeah, Jews. I mean, no, but it's not obvious. So the Gemara says that as well. If you look at 8, right? The Gemara says, "Minani mili detan rabbanan daber al bnei Yisrael, mitzuvin al shchut echutz ve'hein ov dekochav mitzuvin al shchut echutz." Right? Jews can't shecht out to the Beis HaMikdash. Non-Jews can. Again, why? Because there's an expectation that Jews will be in the Beis HaMikdash and non-Jews won't. Even though they're allowed to bring karbana, they are, right? But there's not an expectation that they have to be there. A non-Jew can build a bama, meaning an unauthorized altar wherever he wants and bring whatever he wants. No problem. But Jews can't. Okay. Now let me bring it back to Chumash. Okay? I keep talking about the fact that all these halacha, these expansions, are predicated on an assumption of Jews having a relationship with God. Now, what indication do we have in Chumash that that's true? Right? How is God's relationship described with the Jewish people?
Described two ways.
There's many ways.
But most of the time, like a spouse.
But it's not most of the time, but one of the most prevalent mishalim about God and the Jewish people is a spouse. And now we understand why. Because what's the Torah getting at by describing it this way? Right? The Rambam says the Mernevuchim. Right? It's not that we're actually married to God. It's not that God is a body. All these descriptions in the Nevi'im are getting at a point. What's the point of the Torah describing God and the Jewish people as married?
So that way you don't go and stray.
You don't stray, but it frames it, right? It tells you, and just like... Now, for example, where does the Torah describe our relationship as marriage? So I gave you a bunch, right? If you skip down towards the end here, in 11, right? Because I quoted this already on Sunday in the Agadah this year. Haftarah! From just a few weeks ago, Yishayahu Perek Nun. It was funny because someone said to me, do you actually expect me to know what that pasuk is? The answer is yes. I'm not kidding when I ask you things like that. If you don't know it, that's fine. But I do actually expect you to know that. Yishayahu Perek Nun. Yishayahu says the name of God. You Jews think that I kicked you out of the land. You're in Galut, and therefore you're not chayv in mitzvot. Because what did the Jews think in the time of Yishayahu? What was their logic? They said, we are, quote unquote, married to God. If you're married, how does that express itself?
Your loyalty.
Yeah, but where do you live?
In his house.
In his house. So according to that logic, what is Galus?
Being kicked out of his house.
Right, good. So what did the Jews say? You send us into Galus. What would the logic be?
Not married anymore.
We're not married. If we're not married,
then we don't have to do service.
We don't have to keep Israel. So what did God say? What did God tell Yishayahu to tell the Jewish people?
We're separated, but I still have to pay child support.
Exactly. Yishayahu Perek Nun. Since you said it so nicely. 11. Right? 11. What does the God say to the Jewish people?
Komar Yakuk.
Komar Hashem.
Go.
Right? That's just...
That's what you were doing there.
I didn't do it. It's one of the ways the Barilan avoids writing Shem Hashem. Komar Hashem.
Komar Hashem. Yizeh Sefer Krisos. Imachem Asher Shalachasya.
Asher Shalachtiya.
Asher Shalachtiya.
God turns to them and he says, wait a second. You know how you end a divorce? You know how you end a marriage? There's only one way to end a marriage.
Sefer
Krisos. Sefer Krisos with a get.
But.
I didn't divorce you. We're not. We're separated. But, or to quote it, what did I say on Sunday? What does God say to them? No, there is no get. We're in a Catholic marriage. Get over yourselves, right? There's no way out. Right? Right? What? No, there's no annulment. There's no nothing. This is a permanent Catholic marriage. Not so.
You're sliced at 8 and 8 days.
Right? He says, look, I get it. You sinned. But we're married. Get over it. Right, what?
Cheer for another time.
They don't get divorced.
What if there's a peace?
What? They don't get divorced.
You guys stick with the
abuse. You can't get divorced, okay? I'm not an expert in Catholic law.
Okay.
Just don't do it.
That should be. That's not the books.
Yeah, but it's usser. There are Jews who do all types of usser things also. But for Catholics, divorce is usser. What do you want from me? Okay? Good. Now, so God... And the Jewish people are married. So therefore, by that logic, what is idolatry?
Cheating on them. Adultery.
Adultery! Who says that? Who says it? It's not me. Who said that?
The
Torah, the Pasuk. Right? I gave you one from Divrei Yamin, but I could give you it from anywhere. But number 10. Vayim alu belohei avoseihem. They committed treason against God. Vayiznu. Acharei Elohei Amei Haaretz Asher Shmid Elohim Ipneihem. And Vayiznu. What does Vayiznu mean?
And they were...
Znut. What's Znut? What's Znut? What's Zonah?
It's Pritzus. Like, whore yourself out. Like, I don't know.
Yes, you committed adultery. Right? You were engaged in promiscuity. What?
No, you call someone a pet in Zonah.
Zonah is a prostitute. Right? Or, yes, a whore. Yes. Okay, that's what it is. Right? That's what it is. Okay? Like, we don't have to be soft on this word. Like, you shouldn't go around calling somebody that. But yes, this is what, like...
That's why I said harlot. It's like, you make whatever
you want. Harlot. Whatever you want. The point is, it's not meant to... It's not a polite word. It's not meant to be a polite word. God says, you... Right?
It's like momser.
He's insulting them. Yes! He's insulting them. Shocking. Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. Right? And he says, you, again. But why does any of this make sense? Right? Why does any of this make sense? How can you describe... Because what's it all getting at? The same point.
You're into the long run.
Yeah, and again, all of this comes back to the same point. That the Torah presents the relationship we have with God as a marriage. And everything that entails. Because that means that idolatry is znus. And that means that it entails... Remember my mashal from yesterday? I did that on purpose. Right? I said, you have the woman, right, who every Wednesday night has coffee with her husband, and then one night she sneaks out and has coffee with somebody else, right? We consider that treachery in the relationship. Not because it's objectively treachery, but because it ruins the unity. But if the Torah describes our relationship with God the same way, then it's the same. And that's why we just saw in Perek Bet. For Jews, idolatry doesn't end with worship. You can't think about someone else. Because what would happen if a husband, right, a wife... Take it either way. Well, we've been hard on the wife, so let's go the other way, right? A wife would find out that her husband doesn't sleep around, but he, all night, all he does is fantasize about another woman. How would she feel?
Not happy.
Not happy, right? So God says, what? I don't know. She finds him surfing the net and going on pornography. I don't know. Whatever, right? How's the woman going to feel?
Betrayed.
Right? So God says... So God says...
Specific example.
What? I missed something there. Anyways.
He gave a very specific example of how a wife would find out.
Whatever.
Just overly specific.
Another point. Anyways. But the same thing is true of Odezara. Right? God says, I don't want you thinking about anybody else. Right? That's under the rubric of Odezara. Because once you say that for Jews, part of the cheshbon of Odezara isn't just, am I worshipping an idol, but am I being true to my relationship with God? So, again, as the Rambam says, the Mishalim in the Torah are meant to point in the direction. Because we're not actually married to God. But by describing our relationship with God as marriage, and describing Odezara as nus, right, as adultery, it gives you a language to talk about all the mechuyavut, all the obligations you have towards God to maintain the purity of your relationship. No, you're not chayiv. Okay, you've got to stop with this. You're not chayiv. Chayiv means punishable.
But you just said you're...
It's usur. There are things which are usur, which are not punishable in court. Right? There are different levels. Yes, but there are different madrigos. So if you worship an idol, you get the death penalty. If you worship the idol but you weren't warned, so you don't get the death penalty. If you think about it, it's usur, but it's between you and God. Yes, it's different madrigos. But the point is that the Torah is trying to get you to this point. Now, I gave you a Maharik, which I'm not going to read inside, but let me say it outside for you. The Maharik has a shita, which is worth knowing. Maharik got the following shaila. Who's the Maharik? Maharik. Rabbi Yosef Cologne from Italy. Right? So, Maharik got the following shaila. A woman said to him, I committed adultery, but I thought that the Torah said it was mutter.
What? Okay.
Shaila. Right? That was the shaila. Am I usher to my husband? Right? Normally, if a woman commits adultery, she has to divorce her husband. She can't be with her husband anymore. What? No, she can never be with her husband again. Or the other man. Neither of them. They can never. She can't be with either of them forever.
That privilege.
Both privileges. Right? She can't be with her husband, she can't be with the other guy. Zeu. Okay? So she asked him, right, it's Echel Baal, right? Echel Baal, Echel Truma. Right? So it's again in Septa.
Oh, I think I see where this might be going.
What? So he got the Shaila. So he asked the Shaila. He said, what if she thought it was mutter? I don't know. She thought it was mutter. Marika the Shaila. Now later on, you get the Shaila all the time.
Adultery is mutter. Or she thought the situation.
No, no. She thought adultery was mutter. She thought adultery was mutter. Look, there are all types of fascinating Shailas that happen afterwards with people, right? People who got hoodwinked, right? Where a man would come over to a woman and say, "I am Eliyahu Hanavi. If you sleep with me, we will have Mashiach." And she believed him. As a miskena. Okay. But do you know how many Shailas there are like this? I'm telling you, there are so many Shailas like this. There are other ones who said, I didn't realize, I thought he was a shade. Okay, there's a whole literature. There's mamish a whole literature. I thought he was a shade or he was a shade. There are mamish shailas into the 1950s of women who said, I committed adultery, but it wasn't a human being. I'm telling you, it was a devil. I'm telling you, it was a devil. It was the father of the devil. Okay.
And they, like, never find the guy again?
Yeah, they disappeared. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Try. Doesn't matter.
Marik's case was she came to him and told her.
She asked Marik. I committed adultery, but I thought it was mutter. Am I allowed to stay with my husband?
Well, we just said that thinking is not good enough to punish
them. No. She committed adultery.
Right.
She committed adultery.
Right, so obviously thinking doesn't...
That's what she said. But I thought it was permitted. Now, the general rule in Torah is you only get punished if it's...
done.
Mazed. Intentional. Accidental. You don't.
Right.
So she said, I knew it was adultery, but I didn't know it was usher. Okay?
Yeah.
She asked Marek, am I allowed to remain with my husband?
We just said that thinking with Avodah
Zarah. We're not in Avodah Zarah. We're talking about a woman now.
No, but therefore you could apply it to here. Then.
No.
I'm saying
okay, in general in halacha, we don't punish someone in the same way if it's shogeg, if it's accidental.
Right.
So she said.
It wasn't on purpose.
So that's the question. Right? She asked him, I knew it was adultery. But I thought it was permitted.
There's three levels, no? There's mazed, shogeg, and onis.
Yeah, so this is shogeg.
This is definitely shogeg.
Shogeg, straight up shogeg. No. Thought isn't punishable in court. But in court, no. In court, you get punished if something's mazed, if it's intentional. If it's shogeg, you don't get punished in court, right? But there are consequences.
But she just said she did not purpose.
No, but she didn't know it was us. Or one of the categories of shogeg is called omer mutter. Right? If you... Let's say someone doesn't know, right? He doesn't know there's such a thing as borer. He's sitting there eating trail mix, right? And on Shabbos, and he pulls out the almonds and puts it on the side and eats the raisins, right? He puts the almonds on the side and eats the raisins. What's the halacha? He does it on purpose, killed, right? Zeo, right? That is the death penalty. Skila. But let's say someone didn't know that was usher, a lot of people. Nagid, a lot of people don't know it's usher, right? What's the halacha? He brings a karban. He has to bring a carbon.
He's not aware
of the halacha. Okay, so she didn't know it was usher.
She didn't know.
She didn't do idolatry. She didn't do idolatry. No idolatry. There's no idolatry. It's adultery. It's no adultery.
I know. In your case...
Oh, good. So what are you telling me?
In your case, the guy didn't realize that he was doing a halacha.
But he knew he was separating... She knew she was sleeping around. She didn't know it was a bad thing to do. No, she didn't know it was usher.
She gets into court, and they're like, you're chayev, misa, because you purposely slept with another man. She's like, what do you mean?
I didn't know that was a problem. It was an open marriage.
It was like a thing, you know?
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She didn't know. No, it's the same thing. She didn't know.
I didn't know that there was a thing called
horror. Yes, and she didn't know. He knew there was such a thing as Shabbos. He didn't know this violated it. She didn't know that she wasn't allowed to sleep around. She didn't know. How she didn't know, I don't know. But she didn't know. She didn't know, okay? She didn't know.
Assume that.
Zeuvda. Just assume it.
No,
she didn't know. She didn't know it was us. She knows the problem.
TV show on Netflix.
No, she knew that she slept around. She just didn't know it was us.
See what I'm saying?
Right? She knew. She didn't know it was a problem. She did it, but she knows a problem.
Right, but in your case, the guy wasn't aware that she...
He knew he was separating and that was a problem. She knew she was having sex with another man. She didn't know it was a problem. Okay?
I hear a big...
Same thing. No. There is a difference, but let's just get it... Right? This is what she asked. You know, then...
She was separating him and him. She didn't know you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah, fine. Gaval. Okay? So now the Marek... So she said to Marek, then she finds out. She's pitom, she's in shul. She's in shul, right? Parshas Yisro, right? And the guy gets up and says, Lo Tinaf. And she says, Oy Gevalt, right? Apparently it's Usher, right? Oh, I didn't know. Pashur, I just didn't know. What do I do? Right? So after shul, she comes to the Marek and says, what do I do? So what did the Marek say? So what does the Marek say? Marek says, you're Usher, her husband. You know why? So he's very careful. He says... Because the pasuk by znus, the pasuk by adultery says, umala ma'al, right? She committed a transgression. She committed a trespass. Bi'isha, with her husband, right? Not isha, a woman, but isha with a mapeke, right? Ish shela, with her husband. Okay. What? Umala ma'al bi'isha. That's the pasuk. Right? She committed a trespass against her husband. That's how we describe Znos in the Torah. Okay? In Parshas Naso. So the Marek says, wait a second. Why is adultery wrong? Why does a woman become prohibited to her husband when she commits adultery?
Permitted to.
Usher to Rosamund. Prohibited. To Rosamund commits adultery. Is it because of the Isser Shebo? Right? Because it's God said don't do it? Or is it because? Yeah, because you broke the relationship. You violated the trust. So he says, look at the Pasuk. It says, Umala Ma'al B'Isha. Not Umala Ma'al B'Hashem. So she says, look. He said, you're right. Death penalty, we won't give you. Why? Besides the fact there was no death penalty by that point. But he says, you're not, between you and God, it's a show gig. You're not okay. It's a show gig. It's an accident. But between you and your husband, you're not okay. Why? Because adultery, the reason that you're usher your husband is not because you messed up with God. It's because you trespassed. You messed up with your husband. Who cares whether you knew it was usher or not? Did you know your husband wouldn't be happy? You slept around? You had any idea? Right? Allah, right? But what does the Marik tell you? Throw something at you, honestly. I won't actually, because I'll be sued, but I'll pretend. All right, anyways. No, but the Rama, so what does he say? Right? What does the Marik point out? Oh, cut it out, honestly. What does the Marik point out? That relationship-oriented Isurim.
Regardless of your intention.
Yeah, what creates the problem?
The fact that it was done.
That you did it. The fact that you did it. Right?
Awful lot. Like what we were just talking about regarding Avodah Zarah.
Oh,
no
wow.
No way.
Amazing.
Had so much to do with that.
Amazing. How did we get there? Good. One last point. Okay? This is from the Ramban.
Wait.
Oh, jeez.
Last point. The Ramban notes the following. Okay? You can read it inside and say it if you want tomorrow. But let me say it outside for now. Okay? The Ramban says, if you look through the whole Torah, God is described with many different emotions. Okay? He doesn't have emotions. Let's say he doesn't have emotions. It's fine. Right? I won't get into the question of anthropopathism.
Who?
Anthropopathism.
English.
Okay. So you know what anthropomorphism is?
Yes.
Anthropomorphism is
physical attributes on God.
Correct. So anthropopathism is the same thing, but ascribing emotions to God.
Okay.
Right? Pathos.
Right.
It's emotions. So I'm not going to get into anthropopathism. Right?
Okay, fine.
Let's assume, right, like the wrong, God doesn't have emotions. Okay? But the Torah describes him as having emotions, right? He's Ohev, he's Rachum, he's Chanun, he's this, that, fine. The Ramban says one of the ways that God is described is Kana, right? What does Kana mean?
Kana,
Kuf, Nun, Aleph. It's not really anger, what is it?
Jealousy.
Okay.
So the Ramban says,
like
you look through Kola Terakula, God is described as jealous only with regard to one sin. Which one? Idolatry. Why?
Idolatry,
not adultery. What?
You're cheating on him when you do it.
Good! Because since the relationship of God and the Jewish people is described as marriage, and adultery is idolatry is described as adultery, right?
Then idolatry... proverbial cheating on God.
Good! And where's the word kana come out elsewhere in Torah?
Case of adultery.
Adultery! In what parsha?
Parshat
Naso. Right? What does the Pasuk say?
I don't know
Naso
by heart.
People.
We're not like little Muslim children who can like blurt out Quran whenever. That's actually incredible,
yeah,
by the way.
People.
I don't know why Jewish schools don't teach like that. But
yeah, and then we'll show bombs to their chest and throw them outside.
Okay. Can we cut this out here?
Who's more right?
Okay, the Pasuk says...
Wait, did you know that?
Ish... I guessed. Ish kitiste ishto. If a woman, right, if a woman can, right, commits adultery, umala v'omal, right, and she commits, right, she trespasses against him. And then I'll skip a pasuk. The arvar alav ruach kinah. And he's taken a hold of by a spirit of jealousy. V'kine et ishto. And he expresses a jealousy to his wife. V'hinitma. What?
Husband.
Yes.
So the Ramban says the only time in the whole Torah that God is described as jealous, which is the same word that is used for an adulterous woman, the way the husband feels is by idolatry. Why? Again, right? This should be obvious by this point, right? I'm belaboring the point, but what's true here, now if we take it all together, what do we see? What's true at the level of, right? And here you see an interesting shiluv of halacha, right? Of philosophy, of interpretation of psukim, right? When you put it all together, what comes out? The Ramban, right? Let's take it all together. Jews have a relationship with God. The Torah describes our relationship with God as marriage. The implications of that are manifold, right? One is that multiple aspects to it. Okay, there are many parts to it, right? One is that if we are married to God, that means that a betrayal of that relationship is the equivalent, so to speak, of adultery, right? Hence, Avodah Zarah is described throughout Tanakh as adultery, right? Just like a husband gets, quote-unquote, jealous of his wife if she commits adultery, so God, as Ramban notes, the only time that the Torah describes God as jealous, so to speak, what? It's not angry. It's jealous. The word kina, it's not angry. It's not angry. It's jealous. Right? It's not angry. It's jealous.
Have you had a girlfriend before?
No.
I can't use example. Basically, imagine you were seeing someone, right? And all the time you were with them, you'd see all these other dudes' names pop up on her phone.
Right. I wouldn't get jealous. I'd be angry.
No, you would be jealous. No, that jealousy.
Like that feeling, that...
That's the, called jealousy.
The reason why you're getting angry is because you're jealous.
That's jealousy.
You're trying to figure out what are they doing that you're not...
Yeah, and why is she... Right, she's supposed to be in a relationship with me. That's jealousy. That's not just anger. It's a specific type of anger. Anger is like, I told you 50 times to... I don't know.
Boys.
Well, I told you... I don't come up with something, right? Jealousy is where I'm angry because you are dedicating yourself to somebody else, right? I want that. I want what someone else has. I want that relationship, right? So the Ramban says it's the only time it's described that way. Because, and now we take it back into halacha. This expresses itself in halacha in two ways, right? Or a few ways. One is that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, non-Jews can't worship idols, but only Kedarka, the way they're normally worshipped. But Shelo Kedarka, that doesn't matter for them. It matters for us because that's the woman taking her Wednesday night coffee date with some other man. It's not technically adultery, but it is a violation of the relationship. Shechut Dechutz. Only Jews can't shech outside the Beis HaMikdash, a karban. Why? Because they're supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. They're supposed to be in their home with God. Shechut Dechutz is the woman saying, look, I'm not going to have the coffee with somebody else. I just don't want to have it with you. Right? Instead of me having the coffee date with you at home, right, I'm going to sit on the curb by myself and have the coffee just so I don't do it inside with you. Right? That's also a violation of the relationship. Right? Shechut Dechutz. You can't shech the carbon even to God, but outside. Non-Jews, not a problem.
What is the problem if she wants to have the coffee alone?
Right? Because normally she does it with her husband. Generally, it's not a problem. But today, we had a date, and instead I'm angry at you. Right? I don't want to sleep. I don't want to be in the same bed tonight. I'm sleeping on the couch, right? Whatever, right? This is like every movie ever, right? Right? Every movie ever, right?
You really gotta mess up to do that,
right? Oh, but right. I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm not.
Shad and sleeping on the couch.
Fine. And then the last thing that we just saw in Perek Bet and the Rambam, right? And then we said what else besides that? The Rambam says, right? Now remember. Because the nature, the way Avodah Zarah expresses itself for Jews is not just about worshipping idols, but it's about maintaining our relationship with God, that means that A, we have to set up all types of protections for it, right? Don't read about Avodah Zarah. Don't think about Avodah Zarah. And you violate it even if you think about it. And it's not only about Avodah Zarah. It's also about Minut, right? It's also about Minut, right? It's the same way, heresy. Right? Because not necessarily by doing it with somebody else, right? Let's say a husband stopped having any emotional connection with his wife because he became obsessed with video games. Right? Video games, right? So the wife would also be annoyed, right? Because it's not about, he'll say, what do you want from me? I'm not with another woman. She'll say, that's fine, I still never see you because you're playing whatever. I don't know, I have no idea. I don't know what video game people play. I don't even know what, I have no idea. No clue. Fine, right?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about video games. I'm trying to pick an example I don't know anything about. What? Shine, there's good video games. But what you see is that it comes all together, right? The philosophy, the interpretation of psukim, right? The lamdus, the halacha, right? They all stem from this fundamental idea and it expresses itself at multiple levels because that's how halacha works, right? It's integrated in that sense. Okay, tomorrow we're going to do, just quickly, we're going to do a small sugya tomorrow. I'm not sure, one of two. You know, either you can review and we'll just give a I'll just give a shir, or you can prepare for it. I'm not really sure.
Finally, of the
but we're going to do a big sugya, but we're not starting on a Thursday. Does that make any sense? So we'll start it on Monday. Sunday.
I think the conclusion of this